today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Jason here.
That's me.
Sorry, yeah. I wasn't expecting you in that chair, and there you are.
That's okay. So George Santos is hilarious. You and I have been talking all morning. I think I find everything that happens, everything that comes out about George Santos, absolutely hilarious. Yesterday, we had the revelation that, he's accused of scamming the public through a GoFundMe account out of a few thousand dollars that he says was intended to give this poor, sickly, tumor-ridden dog an operation.
The dog belonged to a disabled, homeless Navy veteran. To take advantage of someone with that line of descriptors is horrific, and so horrific that it sort of makes you titter.
So no, right?
It's like taking away bus vouchers from war widows. It's like you can't write this kind of stuff. It's horrendous.
The impact that he's had on other people. I mean, so what happened was he set up a GoFundMe account purportedly to give $3,000 to this homeless, disabled veteran in order to do an operation on his dog. The $3,000 is collected. Then allegedly George Santos, using an alias of
Anthony DeValder. You're going to hear it's going to be like, what was the alias of Anthony Weiner? Carlos Danger.
Oh, Carlos Danger.
I love aliases. Aliases are my favorite. But anyway, his is Anthony DeValder.
So Anthony DeValder collects his $3,000, then informs the vet that in fact the dog is not a candidate for the operation for whatever reason. And the money just sort of disappears into the firmament.
He said it's going to another dog that could use these funds to save it. And sorry about your dog. We'll put it in hospice care.
There's no evidence. And in fact, it didn't happen that the money went to a different dog. The money was just pocketed. Now, George Santos has denied that. He's denied the whole thing. He didn't really say, I'm not Anthony DeValder. He didn't say, I didn't raise money for the dog. He just sort of denied it, a general denial, as they say.
Before we move on, $3,000. For $3,000 to, like, that meant so much to this guy with his dog with a stomach tumor, to steal that amount of money, it's just not a lot of money.
Why not do a $30,000 GoFundMe?
Yes, exactly. You can wrap your head around the Bernie Madoffs of the world.
So that's your take. You are awful.
Go on.
Horrendous. But I think, actually, the fact that it's $3,000, he is this...
It's like a pickpocket.
Well, he is like this low-level criminal.
Yes.
He's not... There's been a lot of comparisons made between him and Leo DiCaprio's character in Catch Me If You Can.
Yes.
But that character was brilliant.
Yeah.
George Santos is more like the Forrest Gump of con men. He just sort of stumbles, ambles into situations, and all of a sudden, he's a member of Congress.
The Leo guy is impressive. Yeah, he built a whole life for himself. He was a pilot during a time when being a pilot was a very, noble thing.
So today... It comes out, and I don't know how to treat this because it's not a scandal. People have past lives. They can do whatever they want. They can be intimate with whomever they want. They can dress up however they want.
Sure.
I don't pass judgment on anybody for anything, but it's funny that these pictures have come out allegedly showing George Santos dressed up in Brazil as a drag queen named Katara.
Named Katara. So he's got a friend from Brazil, an ex-friend named Yula Rochard. She posted a pic. She said, oh, this Santos guy's in the news. I know him.
Yeah.
From 2008. And it shows him, purportedly him, as this drag queen named Katara. She said she had a bit of a slight in her presentation of this because the question was, oh, he's a drag queen. Did he do this professionally? Well, and she said, well, he wasn't a professional drag queen. He didn't have it like that. He was just like a guy who amateur weekend warrior type of drag queen.
But he didn't have it
queen.
Like that. It's shade. Right?
Yeah, it's
he
shade.
He wasn't quite good looking enough to pull off being a
drag
queen.
Yeah, he couldn't really pull
but
it
he was,
off
he was only
world.
16 or 17 at the time. Very, very young man, a boy, actually, growing up. Again, I don't know what brought him to Brazil. Who knows what for all we know, he's from Brazil. We don't know anything about this guy. We know nothing about him. But he's now a sitting congressman.
Let me ask you this question first, because then I want to dive into all of what the implications are of a person like this who's pulling off low-level scams. You know, there's a picture of him, no shade or anything of him as a drag queen that we didn't know about and so forth. How does a person like this get elected against an opponent in today's age of politics where Oppo research seems to be, so accessible that his opponent didn't just find all this stuff, trash him, and then he couldn't get elected?
It's remarkable to me. There's two things at play here. Number one, George Santos is a con man and a fraud and deserves to be thrown in jail, all that stuff. But the more interesting thing, I think, is that this is a wholesale failure on the part of the Democratic Party of New York and the Democratic Party, the National Democratic Party.
Yeah.
So these are he won, George Santos did, in a very tight race. It's not like this is a red county in Nebraska or somewhere like that, or Kansas. They have these incredibly red counties where it's 80%, 90% of the vote goes to the Republican, where it doesn't matter. Once you get through the primary, you're going to win if you're from a party. And Democrats have these these districts as well. Here, where George Santos won is a very hotly contested area where actually a Democrat held the office until he was just defeated by Santos.
Right.
So the fact that the Democratic Party didn't find this out is a wholesale failure on their part. There was no Oppo research done. I think they thought they were going to hold it. They were just surprised that it was a close election in this, county.
So they
I'm speculating.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a congressional race, so I don't imagine there's a war chest like there is for presidential races or big Senate seats. So maybe there just wasn't a staff
this is
looking into
fruit,
it.
Though,
but
right?
This is a seat you got to hang on to.
I have a tough time believing that given all that's come out, and he wasn't like a crafty criminal. He was a sloppy criminal, George Santos was, that there weren't whispers about it. They didn't hear things about it. They couldn't have said, this is 10 grand for a PI. And in the world of politics, that is a tiny, tiny amount of money.
Yeah.
10 grand for a PI, he uncovers. The guy never went to Baruch College. The guy never worked at Goldman Sachs. The guy's not Jewish. I mean, he's got all
have no record
things.
At the colleges that he went to, the NYU, the Citigroup, the Goldman Sachs. None of it was checked at the time. And what I find surprising is he's a pretty charismatic guy. Have you ever seen him sort of speaking? He has like a sort of flair and charisma him that I can imagine him as an opponent being like, oh, he's a little scary. This guy can speak in public because he is. He's got a facility with sort of communication. Right. Obviously, that's how you become a person who can pull off
scams like
this. And
also, remember, according to him, he was a veteran.
He's
right?
a veteran.
He's a man of Hispanic background who's also Jewish. He plays in a place like New York, outside of New York. He plays very well on this piece of paper that he printed off of a printer. It doesn't have any facts on it.
So you think you'd dig into it.
Looks like a formidable opponent. They just underestimated him as an opponent, and therefore they didn't do the Oppo research, because this is one of the great embarrassments for the Democratic Party. It's also an enormous embarrassment for the Republican Party as well. They have a 4-seat majority in Congress, which
is razor thin.
The Democrats also had a 4-seat majority before the last election. So we have two cycles. I think they're the two closest cycles in American history back to back in terms of the margin for error.
Now 4 seats, though, explain why, like, they can't just discard him and have a 3-seat majority.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that simple because...
So there's 435 members of the House of Representatives. It's a razor-thin lead for the Republicans. In every 2-year term, there are people of the 435 who die. There's a lot of old people, right? Or get really, really sick and can't perform on the House anymore, can't come to the votes. Or in some other way, are pushed out by scandal or whatever it is. And also... these votes are so razor thin, as we saw with the speakership vote for Kevin McCarthy, that if a couple Republicans who are more centrist don't like the far right, Marjorie Taylor Greens and Lauren Boberts and people like that, they'll just vote against it. So they need those far right. And George Santos votes with whomever tells him to vote.
That's
so
right.
He'll vote with the far right. So they need him in order to get some of their agenda through.
That seems to be the big issue, right? The fractures within the party and potential centrists moving over to Democrats or not towing the party line as much. They don't want to give up a guy like Santos who's willing to be a good soldier.
And if there was a special election held, which there aren't always in House races, Democrats would likely take back the seat given how...
Sure. It's a New York seat.
And Santos is terribly embarrassing, the whole thing. So they've got the Republicans are sort of stuck with him. They can't really afford to get rid of him and lose one of those 4 votes they have to actually lead in Congress. But they're terribly embarrassed by him.
We're getting to a point where you're right. Leadership has not turned against him.
Right.
But several party members have turned against him now publicly. You know, Republicans have said we can't hang on to this guy, and just not the leadership. So within the party, there's a divide over what do we do with George Santos now, right? And the Democrats just love this.
Oh,
they get to sit back and watch each news story come out and watch the Republicans squirm. So this is amazing for them. How do you see this shaping up? I mean, we're at a swell. I thought during the McCarthy debacle, right, that whole vote, this story was already out, but it was sort of pressed down and it didn't get the kind of traction. Now McCarthy's in, he's Speaker of the House. All we get is Santos all the time. I don't think he can withstand this. I mean, this is a guy who's... lived a long enough life, you're going to see more of this. If he's lied this many times, there's a lot more.
You can't really force somebody out. They're duly elected. We don't want, you know, we don't want a situation where the power structure in a party can force a duly elected representative out of Congress. There are impeachment proceedings, but they're long and unwieldy. You know,
is there a sort of like fraud on the electorate by not disclosing these things?
He could be incarcerated.
Yeah.
And then he holds the seat, but he can't vote. So that's the one thing that I think there's a real risk that he's going to be imprisoned relatively soon, right? There's a host of federal crimes he's now sort of accused of. Now, he would have the, but as long as you can show up, so he could be arrested, make bail, and while out on bail, continue to vote.
Oh, yeah, these things take time. Like,
yeah.
The wheels of justice grind very slowly. If there's a criminal proceeding, yeah, he's going to be out on bail. They're not, you know, violent crimes of any sort.
Now, I started with this, and I had said before we went on the air that I find this hilarious. Mm-hmm. And for no other reason than, like, he's one of 435, right?
Right.
And
that's key to you,
and
right?
And that's key to me. If this was, you know, if we had a president, hypothetically, whose background was based on lies and was it, all these things were surfacing, that's worrisome because the president has wields so much power.
Right.
Or even somebody who's the head of one of the major parties, because he or she can tilt the agenda of the party in a specific direction. This guy is number 435. He is the least powerful member of the United States Congress.
So you're enjoying watching the clown show, because we used to talk about Donald Trump's tweets. I'm no fan of Donald Trump, but I found them funny at times. I found that sort of bloviating buffoonery, the misspellings. I would find myself laughing. And you often would be like, I don't find this funny.
Right.
And I think it was
I wasn't quite that.
Yeah,
that
you're not
stern.
Humorless. I'm not saying you're sort of a scold or anything. But you would say, like, this guy wields way too much power and influence for us to take him lightly and sort of, I don't feel like I have the luxury is kind of, I think, your feeling of being like, he's just funny.
That's right. Yeah. I didn't feel that luxury with Trump. And also, I thought he wielded it there was some danger under him, right?
Certainly danger.
I think that Trump, and I'm not meaning to be political about it, but he, among all people, and Bill Clinton had some of this too, by the way, where they would influence the wheels of justice in order to support their position. And that concerned me.
Yeah.
George Santos doesn't have any authority. He can't do anything.
You're not worried about abuse of power because there's very little power.
There's very little power. Now, he's got one vote of 435, and given how close the Congress is, he wields some power.
Yes.
And it would be interesting if he would cast aside, not allowed to vote, you know, whatever. The Republicans didn't put him on any committees, so he's not.
What's kind of funny is that where we are with him is there's a shamelessness, right? I mean, he is defiant. He's not going to step down. He's not the type of person who seems to be wired for, like, oh, you guys found me out. See you later. I've had a good run. He's about the guy with the dog. He said, fake, no clue who this is. He's sort of adopted those sort of, you know, party stances of, like, fake news, and he's using them to his advantage.
You know what? I'm desperate for him to happen, for him to call a press conference. I want him to call a press conference. He goes, ladies and gentlemen, I need to say some things. Please come meet me at the steps of this and that. And I'll have a press conference. It would be, you know, thousands of members of the press corps would show up. Everybody finally wants to hear from this guy, right? And he gets up there and he says, I want to take this opportunity to announce my candidacy for Senate in the next election. And just because, to your point, he's just totally shameless. He doesn't care.
Shameless. It's pretty incredible to behold. I don't think we've seen a figure quite like him. Is there an analog for George Santos? Because there's just like such a volume of it. I can't think of anyone in political circles who's had this type of assortment
of
qualities.
Ever heard? I'm sure there's some Dateline episodes and things. You know more about this kind of stuff than I do, about people who have constructed an entire false identity.
Yes.
Not for purposes of defrauding people, I got that, but for purposes of just like they're
like a compulsion to construct a new identity.
They're manifesting a life they wish they had or whatever it is, you know? There's been rumors that, I think he's gay, right?
He's openly gay, yeah.
So there's been rumors forever that some of that was even concocted, you know? Just like he created this persona that he wanted to be and not who he actually was. I mean, just the fact he just lied about his education and where he had worked, and none of it was true.
I find it funny he's a pretty young guy, George Santos, right? I mean, I think he's probably in his 30s, something like that.
He's young 30s, yeah.
Young 30s.
31, so. 32, 33, something like that.
How does he continue going through life from this point? Because now, you know, he was a low-level scam artist. You can make your way through life that way, but now he's such a public figure, and there's been so much exposed that he'll get at best 2 years in Congress. That's what a congressional term is.
Right?
He's not going to be reelected with this kind of track record.
And you don't make a ton of money.
And he's a young man, and there's a element of like sympathy that I have that I think, yes, we're laughing at it. This is all funny, but he's got a long life ahead,
he also may have a serious mental problem.
He may have serious problems, is what I'm saying. And so how
he can always fall back as Korea's Katara.
He could go back to Brazil and try to make it as Katara.
Right. It looked like, by the way, some photos came out recently of his where he looked like he's had his lips plumped.
Oh, I didn't see
that. Yeah,
those.
You didn't see it. We were talking about it in the newsroom yesterday. There were side-by-side photos. It's pretty apparent that he's had his lips plumped.
Okay.
So I don't know how this goes to it. I was sort of building off I don't know. A guy like
I don't know what he'll do.
Maybe his way.
Well, to your point, and maybe it's a serious one. You know, in some sense, this Katara stuff is maybe he does try to assume a sort of entirely
new
identity.
I
understand that point actually as a serious one because. Yeah. I think he can't show his face, really, and exist in the world as George Santos or Anthony DeVolder.
That would be the true case for you and me. But for somebody who's so willing to just abandon the realities and just construct something new, maybe he could. I mean, he got himself through a totally false persona to one of the higher levels of power in our country.
It's remarkable. Let's land this. Let's say 6 months from now, is he a congressman still?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
He serves out the term.
I think he's defiant. I think he'll serve out the term. I think the processes to get rid of him are too complicated and not worth it for the country, for the Democrats to pursue because he's one congressman.
And the Republicans hold the House. They're the ones that could bring proceedings to oust him, and they're just not going to do it. And by the way, you can say they're shameless. The Democrats would do the same thing. You do not give up a seat when it's a closely contested House. You just don't do it. And, you know, they would say, look, it's worth the short-term embarrassment. Nobody's going to remember who he is. Nobody's going to hold it against us. We'll lose this seat in 2 years anyways. Why give it up now?
Yeah. So he's got a 2-year gym membership in Congress. It'll be good. Yeah. And then we'll see what happens to George Santos. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.